good to see everyone this morning and appreciate the opportunity to stand before you and present some of the things that I've studied this week, and appreciate the prayer on my behalf. I feel like the songs that we've sung, the prayers that we have prayed, I really don't have much to say after that. It is very interesting that that's the case. We talked about, or we sang about and prayed about just about everything that we're going to talk about. We're entitled the lesson, Last Chance, and the lesson comes from Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, if you want to follow along there, we'll be in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, quite a bit this morning. We'll start off by reading. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of this vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered, And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Think about all of the recent events that you can think of, maybe wars or disasters, maybe hurricanes or tornadoes or floods. We've had quite a few of those lately. And all these together, wars and things that have killed hundreds of thousands of, they've killed the hundreds of thousands of people. And people all through time have always wondered, why does God allow such things to happen? Why does he allow these bad things to happen which destroy people? In Luke chapter 13, the Jews bring up this disaster that had happened to them. They believe that the things that caused this horrible thing was the sins that the Galileans had committed. They're much worse sins than theirs, or much more sins than theirs. They believe that these things caused these horrible things for these Galileans, and Jesus responds with a warning here. And then he tells them this parable. And the point of this story is to tell us that God has great disappointment in us when we are fruitless. And he is angered with us when we are fruitless. And it's not because of our sin that things happen to us that are disastrous in this life. And we shouldn't worry about those things, but instead the judgment. The judgment is the thing that we should be worrying about. The final judgment. God expects us to bear fruit for him, and sometimes I can't think, but maybe he's disappointed in us. I can't help but think that he's disappointed in me. This story is the story that we're going to be talking about. We're going to take a closer look at the parable that Jesus speaks after he gives this warning. The first thing that we find in Jesus' story is that God cares for us. God takes care of us. just as he did this tree. A certain man had a fig tree. He had it planted in his vineyard. It was his tree. He cared for it. He took care of it. He planted it in a choice place, his vineyard, an obvious place where it had the opportunity to produce fruit. It had everything it needed. He watched over it for 3 years. He came to it year after year. And when he came, he looked for fruit. I expected he had his people working that worked the vineyard would come by and prune and do things for this tree. But when it was time for fruit, he would come looking for fruit. Just think about how God has been good to you. The blessings that you have from God. How he has cared for you. How he has taken care of you. How he has given you everything that you need to be successful in his kingdom. Every good and perfect gift comes from him, even life itself. He sent his son to die for us so that we might enjoy eternity with him through obedience to his word. He has done everything for us. And yet this tree was barren. The next thing that we see from this parable that Jesus tells the people there is that there is an expectation. There is an expectation. He provides these blessings expecting something in return. It's not just a one-way street here. He expects something in return. And the farmer had a right to expect that from his tree. Because he had cared for the tree. Because that is the natural function of a fig tree is that it's supposed to bear fruit. And given the right circumstances and the right environment and the care that the farmer had given it, it should have borne fruit. And it didn't. And Jesus is saying that God has a right to expect fruit from us. Why? Because we are created for such. Just as the fig tree was created to produce figs, we are created to produce good works, produce fruit. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says, Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who has raised you from the dead, or who has raised from the dead, that we should bring forth the fruit, forth fruit unto God. It is expected of us, being in Christ Jesus, to be producers of fruit. Well, what kind of fruit are we talking about? Well, obviously, we can't make figs. That's not what we're supposed to do. We can't make figs. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and in righteousness and truth. When we act according to the fruits of the Spirit in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, and we do these things that are we live our lives as such, we produce fruit. We produce fruit. And that fruit is pleasing to God and it glorifies God. And that's what we should intend for it to do. Not that we look at ourselves and think that we're anything, but we glorify God in that fruit. And that fruit pleases him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. John chapter 15, verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we live a life pleasing to God, when we live a life of fruitfulness through righteousness and the things of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, we produce good works. And that is pleasing to God and it glorifies God. And that should be our aim. For us that are trying to do the will of God and please Him. The next thing that we find in our story here, that the parable that Jesus tells, we see disappointment. We see disappointment. The farmer is not pleased. He's very disappointed in his tree. And he had the right to expect the fruit that was supposed to be there, but there was none. And he was very disappointed. Presumably, he had done all that he could. You know, the fault was the trees. It was the tree's fault that it didn't produce fruit. It wasn't the farmer. And so many times we try to blame God, don't we? For all of the bad things, we look at all of the bad things that we see in our lives and we say, you know what? You know, God's not there for me. Look at all the bad things that's going on in my life. I can't be of use to God. Look at my sin. Look how wicked I am. And we fail to produce fruit. And you know what? God is not pleased. He is disappointed in us. Just as in the farmer here, he removed every obstacle and every excuse that the tree had to bear fruit. What excuses do you have? God has removed every excuse that you could come up with. He has given you everything that you need to bear fruit. But we still have a choice, don't we? We're either going to produce or we're not. And when we make that decision to not produce, God is not pleased. He's disappointed. The next thing that we see is anger or wrath. That disappointment leads to wrath and anger from God. I can almost hear it in the farmer's voice. This sorry tree, worthless. Just cut it down and throw it in the fire. Maybe we can make some use out of it. We make steaks or something. I don't know. Just cut it down, throw it in the fire. It's worthless. I've wasted all my time. I've come 3 years trying to find fruit from this tree. I've wasted resources. I could have planted grapes here in my vineyard. At least it produces. His judgment was, cut it down. I've given you enough time. And just as God has taken care of us, for us as human beings, for thousands of years, one day He's going to say, you know, enough is enough. I've given you enough time. And we can also expect the judgment of God if we have disappointed him, the judgment and the wrath and the anger of God if we have disappointed him. By being fruitless. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30 says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Isn't that what the farmer wanted? He put that tree in his vineyard. The vineyard was there to produce something, to make him profit. He put this tree in the middle of this vineyard so that it could produce and make him profit, and it profited him nothing. Will we be profitable servants of God? Or will we be fruitless? Or will we be fruitless? And cast into outer darkness. The next thing that we see in our story here, that the parable that Jesus tells, is intercession. Intercession. A Savior comes. And this is the dresser or the gardener in verse 8. And he has interceded to give this tree one last chance. He goes to the farmer and he says, "Farmer, you know what? Don't cut it down. Just give it one more chance. Give it one last chance. I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. I'll pay extra attention to it. I'll care for it even more. And then if it decides to bear fruit, well, that's great. But if not, cut it down." It would have been sensible just to destroy the tree in the first place and get it over with and plant something else, I think. In my opinion, that's what I think. Justice demands that the unfruitful die. That's the way things work, isn't it? Even in nature, a plant must produce seed. And if it doesn't produce seed, guess what? Of its own kind, then guess what? That plant fails to exist. Once it dies, there is no more of that variety. If there is no way for it to reproduce, if it fails to reproduce, there is no more of that variety. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." All the plants of the earth, all the animals after their kind reproduce. Everything that God has created reproduces from its own kind. And if it fails to reproduce, guess what? It dies. It dies out completely. It no longer exists. The gardener here, he interceded. And he is a representative of Christ, who also intercedes for us and gave us one last chance. One last chance. Where we were wicked and we were unfruitful and we were, against God and living for self. Jesus says, "No, I will give my life for them." To give them one last chance. To be fruitful. Through Jesus, we have been so blessed. So by so many additional advantages, so many blessings, he has given us all things that we need. He has made us sons of God through obedience to God's Word. He has given us his Holy Spirit and also intercedes for us. And he has given us the church. Such wondrous blessings. And all of these things have equipped us to be fruitful. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has blessed us so much and given us all the things that we need so that we can naturally and spiritually produce. We be found pleasing and fruitful? Or will we be regarded as a disappointment and draw anger and wrath? The last thing that we see from the parable that Jesus speaks to these people is responsibility. The responsibility is ours. The responsibility is ours. The decision is ours. The final responsibility lies on us. Corey says, if it bears fruit next year, let me take it for a year. If it bears fruit next year, then okay, great. Everything's well. But if not, cut it down. He's given us everything that we need, but the decision lies on us. You know, mercy, I thought about this, and this is very true, and I hadn't realized that this until just now, or just this week, actually. But mercy, the mercy that God has given us, the grace that God has extended to us, in itself cannot do anything unless we respond in faith and in obedience. Sorry. I've got the whole dis in my mind. But mercy and grace cannot succeed in you unless you respond to that grace and mercy in faith and obedience. That's very interesting to me, because I can offer mercy and grace to whoever it is, but unless they take it and do with it, guess what? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything for them. And just because Jesus has interceded for us does not negate our responsibility to be obedient. He has offered us grace and in mercy, but that doesn't mean we can't just continue on our way. We still have to be obedient. We still have to produce fruit. We still have to be profitable. In summary for this lesson, for this parable that Jesus speaks, I want to look back to the first part of Luke chapter 13. Let's see. I'm going to have to go back to the beginning here. the first part of Luke chapter 13, verses 2 through 4. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or for those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? The point that Jesus was trying to make to them in this passage is this. Even though we, in our feeble minds, we try to categorize sin based on what is less sin and what is greater sin, or in quantities. Your sin is greater than their sin. You have much more sin than this other person. Few and many. But the point Jesus says here is that sin is sin. We've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. The deserving factor for sin is death. No matter how great we might think it is or how small we might think it is, no matter how, in a qualitative factor that we might think, it doesn't matter how great or how small. All sin's deserving of death. We all deserve to be chopped down and thrown into the fire. Every single last one of us. But Jesus came to give us another chance. Jesus came so that we might have life through obedience to God. And he's also told us what he expects of us. He tells us what is expected of us, going back to our summary. Throughout all the world, it has been expected that everything in God's creation produced. Look at nature. We read this already. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass and seed so that it might continue to produce and thrive on the earth. Trees yielding fruit after their own kind upon the earth. Look at man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply. You know what? If man and woman just said, you know what? We're not going to do it. What would happen? Everyone would die. There would be no more man. No more man would be on this earth. If they rebelled against God and said, no, we're not doing that. We'll just stick with what we got. The apostles. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. The apostles were also supposed to produce, weren't they? From the things that they've been given and going and teaching others so that what? The gospel could continue on. If they had said, nope, not going to do it. I'm not going to be fruitful. What happens? And now we have the church. The church. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, You then, my children, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's you and I. It's God's expectation for us to do good works and be fruitful. Why? Because the church needs to continue. The church needs to remain strong. And without us being fruitful and multiplying, we die. We need to repent of our wickedness and bear fruit pleasing to God. God cares for us. He gives us all that we need. He gives us everything and every opportunity to bear fruit. But the choice is ours. It's our responsibility. Will we be fruit bearers and be pleasing to God, or will God be disappointed? And in his judgment, bring wrath upon us. God has given us a last chance through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and our obedience to him, the gospel that we teach. Will he be pleased to find us fruitful and obedient? Or will we still remain unfruitful and be a disappointment and bring wrath from God upon ourselves? That's the lesson for this morning. I appreciate your attention. Maybe there's something that you need in your life that maybe you need to remove some obstacles so that you might be fruitful. Something that's causing you not to be fruitful. Maybe you'd like the prayers of the church to help you in that. We'd like to help you. We'd like to pray for you. We'd like to study with you. We'd like to encourage you. Maybe you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Christ yet, and you need to take opportunity for that last chance. Maybe you need to be obedient to that gospel this morning and obey him in baptism. We'd like to help you with that also this morning. In either case, we want to help you. And we would like to do that this morning. If you would please stand and come forward as we sing the invitation song.